Wonderful. Great job, young ladies. It's a blessing to see young people use their talent to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I can't think of anything greater to sing about than the grace of God. Amen. The blessing to my heart. I hope you realize the truth of that song. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are, that we go where we go. Amen. It's because of God's grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. So I'll echo what Brother David said this morning. Wyatt, I'm proud of you. Thank you for reading. And it's a blessing to see my children serve the Lord with their life. You're in Deuteronomy 30. We're gonna look at Deuteronomy just briefly, and then we're going to go to the book of Romans. So you can maybe find Romans 6. We'll look at some verses in chapter 6 and 7 and 8. I'm not going to preach four chapters, so don't get nervous. I realize we have some things planned tonight. But you pray. I believe... Listen, I got a Bible message. Anytime you got a Bible message, it's important. I'm going to talk to you tonight about making choices. And we know that the setting here in Deuteronomy, Moses, he's getting toward the end of his life. And God used Moses to be the leader to lead the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But because of their unbelief, their disobedience, they spent a lot of time in that wilderness. More time than God intended for them to spend. Moses had, although Moses was a great man of God and did many wonders interceding on the behalf of God's people, because of an act of disobedience, Moses was not allowed entrance into the land. And so no doubt all these things are going through his mind, and chapter 1 of Deuteronomy kind of gives us the setting. They're there on the brink of the promised land in the plains of Moab, just before the Jordan River. Maybe it's even in their sight. And he's telling them that they have a choice to make. They can do as their forefathers. They can choose death. They can choose a lifetime of wilderness wanderings. And although they experienced God's provision and God did provide a table in the wilderness, that's not all that God had for his people. Moses said, I'm giving you an option. He's saying in verse number 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good on one hand and death and evil. He tells them in verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he says, choose life. He not only gives them an option, he encourages them to choose life. Now, I don't know when all of the funerals took place of the generation before them, but they buried a lot of people somewhere. And no doubt that's probably still fresh on their mind. And Moses is trying to get the attention of this next generation, and he's trying to encourage them, choose life. Learn from the mistakes of your forefathers. Don't spend your life wandering in circles in this wilderness. There's a land, can't you see it? It's just beyond the river that God has promised, where milk and honey and the blessings of God await. Amen. He said, therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Look, for he is thy life. He is thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now I want to remind you, Moses, he's talking to a nation that had been redeemed from Egyptian bondage. There's a picture here that we're going to look at of New Testament Christianity. There's a picture here of the Christian that can make a choice either to live after the flesh or after the Spirit. We're not talking about, are you saved and lost tonight? I hope you've made that decision. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to get that settled. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And listen, although God's good in the wilderness, listen, the wilderness is better than Egypt, but we're not talking about saved and lost tonight. I don't want you to think about, we're talking about saved and lost. We're talking about people that are redeemed, people that have been saved. You got a choice to make with your life now. One of two ways you can live it. You can live it after the flesh and experience death, or you can live it after the Spirit to experience life. And that's kind of, you know, I realize it's Old Testament, it's the nation of Israel, but you know, the New Testament says these things were written for our admonition. They are in samples for us. The things that happened before, they were written for our learning. And so these things, we can learn a valuable lesson. And so Moses is talking to people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb and brought out of Egypt, and they never returned. There was a part of them that still had a desire for the things of Egypt, wasn't it? Remember, they talked about the food they used to eat, and there was a part of them that thought that maybe they were missing out by not being in Egypt. And isn't our flesh the same way sometimes? Listen, you're here, and if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, He saved your soul. He did not save your flesh. One reason I know that He did not save my flesh is sometimes my flesh tells me the same thing. Well, you're missing out on some things back in Egypt. You're missing out on some things that you used to be involved in the world. And I have to remind my flesh, you're wrong. Those things are death. I got a choice to make. You got a choice to make tonight. I'm glad we're free moral agents. God doesn't force any of His children to do right. He's not going to force you to have peace. He's not going to force you to have contentment. He's not going to wave a magic wand and give you joy. That's a choice you and I have to make. One reason I thought about this message is I've heard a lot of Christians just through my limited experience in Christianity. Well, we got all kind of excuses, don't we? You know, life is hard and sin is this And listen, I'm not denying that life is hard, and I'm not denying that there's temptation, but listen, you've either been set free from sin or you haven't. We're going to look at some of those things, okay? So with that kind of as an introduction, let's go ahead and get us some verses here in the book of Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Now, an Old Testament setting, Moses, he's addressing redeemed people, and he's telling them, you got a choice to make. And tonight, I believe for the most part, I'm addressing people that have been redeemed. You have professed Jesus as your Savior, and I'm telling you tonight, you got a choice to make. You say, well, I already chose to trust Jesus as my Savior. Wonderful. Now you got a choice. Am I going to yield my life to the Spirit of God and His control and experience life and blessing? Or am I going to do the easy thing and yield after the flesh and experience death? And you say, well, what are you talking about with death? Moses told him there, he said, you can experience life and death. You got a choice, life and death. And the generation behind them, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they died. The generation that went into the promised land, they lived for years, and you know what? They died physically. And so I think there's more in view here than physical death. We all know that the wages of sin is death. And something I want you to understand tonight is when the Bible mentions death, it's often talking about more than just a physical death. There is a physical death. There's also a spiritual death. We know there is an eternal death. God told Adam, the day that you eat that fruit, thou shalt surely die. He didn't physically die that day. So that death must have meant something else, right? The children of Israel lived in a state of death. Isn't that an oxymoron? They lived in a state of death for 40 years. And Christians today choose to live in a state of death without experiencing the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, choose life. It's better. Amen. Romans 6, let's look at some verses. Now, the book of Romans is a wonderful book. I love the book of Romans. First three chapters, Paul's trying to get us to understand that we're all lost. Jew, Gentile, no matter how much light you have, no matter how much of the scriptures you have, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we conclude, Romans 3:28, that a man is justified without the deeds of the law. He's justified by faith. And so Romans 4 and 5, lay that out. Abraham was justified by faith. You say, well, those before the Calvary, they were saved by keeping the law. No, they weren't. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Old Testament folks were saved by faith just like you and I. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith. Romans, first three chapters, he says, you're all lost. Chapter 4 and 5, he says, this is how you get saved. It's by grace through faith. And then chapter 6, 7, and 8 are wonderful for those of us that are saved. He said, now that we've covered how you get saved, here's how you live. You got a choice to make. That's what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is about. You got a choice to make. Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether, there's two choices, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You got two choices. Can I tell you tonight, I'm going to say this before I forget it. Jesus wants to do more in your life than take you to heaven. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He wants to do a work in your life. He wants you to know what it's like to really live. Verse number 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, that's what happened either before you got saved, or that's what happened when you can get saved and you can still yield to the flesh. He said, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we use that verse a lot in trying to lead a soul to Jesus Christ as part of the Romans Road. But really it applies to saved people. Paul had saved people in mind when he said, hey, the wages of sin is death. That sin's going to kill you. That sin's going to cause everything in your life that you love to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying, choose your master. You can serve the flesh, you can serve sin, or you can serve Jesus. And you'll reap the consequences for it. So many Christians, they're living after the flesh. Their life is filled with temporal, with carnal things. And they wonder why there's no joy, there's no peace. And they have this mindset of, well, I've tried Jesus. I've tried this Christianity thing. And as I said before, he wants to do more than just take you to heaven when you die. Because I believe this, I believe the Bible teaches that there's three kinds of men. There's a natural man, a carnal man, and a spiritual man. And you can be saved and you can be carnal. And you can be saved and you can be miserable. You can be saved and you can be defeated. You can be saved and not have any joy. That's not the will of God. Man, he wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have fullness of life. To realize that, man, there's something real. There's something worth living for. Chapter 7, the end of that, we're familiar with the struggle. Chapter 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And here's a picture of a man that's saved, and he's just struggling with the flesh. We've been there. We can read it, and we say, yep, Paul, I know what you're talking about. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. I'm doing things I know I shouldn't. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You ever done anything you know is wrong and you hate it? That's a picture of the man he's struggling with his flesh. And he comes down the end of it, verse 24, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And thank God for verse 25. Amen. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's deliverance. The end of chapter 7 is a picture of the Christian who has yielded to the flesh and he's struggling with sin and there's a battle and he can't get victory and he just cries out in desperation, oh, wretched man that I am. And he's almost in a place of despair, but Paul realized there's victory. That's why God gave us chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter. It's about the Spirit-filled Christian life. Now, I want you to understand that, okay? Romans 8, there may be some verses that can apply to lost and saved, okay? But what I'm telling you is Romans 8 is about you're saved and you need to yield your life to the Holy Spirit. Now, let's read some verses in Romans 8. I just want to give you some truths about this matter of you got a choice to make. You choose life or death. You say, well, my heart's beating and I got oxygen in my lungs. I'm not talking about that kind of life and death. Man, you can look on some people's countenance and see it, can't you? Yeah. Yeah. Life or death. Life or death. Look at it. Romans 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Amen. You know, there's not a period right there in my Bible. Is there one in yours? It's not. Now, I've read something. I got some Bibles at home. This bothers me. It's very likely you got a note somewhere in your Bible with this last phrase that says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And a lot of the editors that even gave us King James Bibles, a lot of them say, well, that's not supposed to be there. I got a Bible at home. There's a footnote, and you can look at it. It's a King James Bible. And they says, oh, well, these last 10 words of chapter 8, verse number 1, they were, what was the word, interpolated? I said, I got to get on my dictionary. What does that mean? And basically it means these last 10 words, some people are saying, well, they were added and it was almost deceptive. They're not in the latest manuscripts. That's garbage. Amen. Amen. I don't like when folks try to mess with my Bible. Amen. And what I think is sometimes when we don't understand what the Word of God's trying to teach, we have to have an explanation. So we say, that's not supposed to be there. There's some verses in Mark 16 towards the end of that chapter that some Bibles say, they weren't supposed to be there because they can't explain them, right? Well, you know what? Sometimes it's okay just to say, I don't know. Rather than me say, those verses aren't supposed, that word's not supposed to be there, I'd rather just say, you know what? I don't know about that yet. Amen? Now, Romans 8, 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If it was a period, it'd still be a great verse. Listen, when I got saved, I got put into Christ Jesus. I'll never be condemned to hell. I'm saved forever. I'm thankful for that truth. That's not necessarily what Romans 8 is trying to teach. It's saying there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The teaching is if you'll walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. But now, if you choose to walk after the flesh, there's condemnation. You say, but I'm saved, Brother Brandon. Well, you know what? There's several places in the Bible that talks about us as believers can bring condemnation upon our lives. 1 Corinthians 11 says, if we partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, we're eating and drinking condemnation upon ourselves. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6 says, if we put a novice in the office of a bishop, he's going to fall into the condemnation of the devil. Right? He's susceptible to that. James chapter 5, verse number 9 says, if we grudge against one another, we're going to bring upon ourselves condemnation. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 8, that we are to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Our speech can condemn us. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 20 and 21 says that our heart can condemn it. Here's what I want you to understand, that you can be saved, your sins forgiven, and have hope of eternal life and a home in heaven when you die, and you can live a life of condemnation. Here's what the word condemnation means, or to condemn. To condemn means to pronounce to be utterly wrong. You can be saved and live wrong. And so the teaching is, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You want to live a life that's free of condemnation. It's more than just getting saved and having your name written down in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit's control. You got to choose life. You got to choose Jesus. You got to choose Bible reading. You got to choose prayer. You got to choose witnessing. You got to choose serving God. If you choose flesh, condemnation.
Amen.
Condemnation. Death. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
Hey, Jesus set me free. I'm free. He broke the chains. Somebody, Brother Greg testified, has he broken the chains in your life? I don't have to sin. I don't have to. I choose to. Yeah. Look at chapter 6, verse number 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you're saved and you identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, you are free from sin. I have beside that verse in my Bible, no excuses. Right? Now, a lost man could come and he could say, you know what, I struggle with this drinking, I struggle with this drug, I struggle with lying, I struggle with cheating, I'm struggling with being honest. And he would say, you know what, I can't do anything about it, I try, and he'd be absolutely right. He's chained. He's in chains. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're being dishonest. If you say, I'm struggling with fill in the blank, drinking, drugs, cheating, lying, being faithful, just fill in the blank. If you're saved and you say, I'm just struggling and I can't get victory, you're not being honest. Jesus set you free.
Amen.
Now listen, hey, look, we either believe the book or we don't. That's what the book says. The book says, when I got saved, he set me free.
Amen.
I may not always live like it, but I have the potential to live a life of life, victory. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if we're not careful, we give saved people a reason to stay carnal. Hey, we need to tell them like Moses, hey, choose life. Man, there's something better. Don't die in the wilderness. Choose life. Learn from the mistakes of your past, your forefathers, the people around. Can't you think of people around you that have made a profession of faith, but their life is just characterized by misery, condemnation, failure, failure, failure. Listen, I don't know who's saved and who's not. But I believe this, you can be saved and you can still choose to live in sin and you don't have any joy and things in your life are just going to die. But can I tell you, that's a choice. I can make a choice. I can choose victory tonight. I'm glad for that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Here, listen, the law couldn't save us. It was weak through the flesh. There's nothing wrong with the law, but if we try to obey and fulfill the law in and of ourselves, we don't cooperate very well with it. It's weak through the flesh. So God said, you know what? I got a solution. I'm going to send my Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and He's going to show that it can be done. So we're condemned. Because Jesus came, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He lived a sinless life. And He says, you know what? You got the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law, look at this, might be. Not will be, it might be. There's a possibility that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Victory's possible. It's a maybe. That's what he said, verse 4. It's your choice. No excuses. I don't like to give myself excuses. I just like somebody to tell me, no, you know what, Brandon? Quit making excuses and just get real with yourself. You're the problem. Don't always feel good, but man, I don't know about you. Aren't you just sick of living in a society that's just always concerned about just trying to make people feel good?
Amen.
Tell them whatever they want to hear. Just don't make them feel uncomfortable. Man, thank the Lord for the medicine that don't taste good but helps. Amen. Verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Can I ask you a question? What are you after tonight? What are you after? What are you going after? That's what it means. You're either after the flesh or you're after the Spirit. David was a man after God's own heart. He was after the spiritual things. Now listen, I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what your day's been like. But I imagine we probably got just different situations going on in lives. There's some folks, they came to church, whether it was this one or another one. They came to church tonight, and here's what they did. They came, and they had to turn a switch on when they got to church. All right, let me try to get spiritual. Let me try to get my mind focused on what I'm singing, and maybe by the time church is out, they're dialed in. They've been after the flesh all week long, all day long, and then they try to come in and turn on the switch, right? And then there's some that they've been after the Spirit all week long. They come there ready for church, ready to worship. I'll be honest with you, I've done both. I've tried both. Yeah. What are you after tonight? You after the flesh? Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Look, it doesn't say to be carnally minded will lead to death. It is death. To be presently carnally minded is death. If you're after the flesh, death is the characteristic of your life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want you to understand what's at stake here. It's not physical death, but there's a lot of things that can die in your life if you live after the flesh. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid the devil's done a good job of putting blinders on us, and we don't see the consequences of our sin. That's what death is. Death in the Bible, it's the consequence of sin. As by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So sometimes we don't always think about, and the devil don't want us to think about, the consequences of sin. Can I tell you, it'll kill your joy. It'll kill your peace. It'll kill your contentment. People that live after the flesh all week, and all they consume their life with is things that make them comfortable, things that make them feel good, and things that are just going to feed their flesh, and then they wonder, why don't I have it? What's wrong with me? Why don't I have any joy? Why don't I have any peace? Well, you're after the flesh. It'll kill your marriage. Bring death to marriage. How many marriages have died because of sin, the consequences of sin, right? How many families have died? You see, we're not tonight just talking about sin's going to put you 6 feet under. It might put your family to death. Might put your marriage to death. This is Youth Sunday. Can I tell you this? You live after the flesh. You don't want to serve God, and you think it's, you know what? Let me just say this too. Serving God's more than just coming to church. Amen. I think some young people think that, well, I come to church. I mean, you can come to church and live like the devil all week. I'm glad people come to church, but man, the Christian life's about what are you doing with your life? Not what are you doing for a few hours on Sunday. So you can live the way you want to live instead of the way God wants you to live. You can live the way you want to live, and you know what? It might kill your marriage prospect. That person you want to marry. You listening to me, young people? Yeah. You're going to want to have a good marriage, but sin is going to so mess up your life that your marriage prospects are going to be more and more hard to come by. How many people we know like that? Yeah. I'm not happy about that. It's terrible. It's sin. The consequences. What about a job prospect? I believe there's a lot of good men looking for work, and they can't find good work because of something they did in the past. Now, I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong, but I'm just being real with you. You want to live after the flesh and be involved in this sin, it may kill some job prospects in the future for you. I'm just trying to get you to understand. It's going to kill some things in your life. This book's right. God's right. And God's saying, hey, choose life. Don't do that to yourself. Especially as a young person. Man, you're gonna be behind before you can get started in life. How many young people do you know like that? Man, they dug themselves such a hole because they wanted to do it their way, right? Man, I'm going to move out from the house and I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. You might pay for it for years and years.
Amen.
Yeah. Might kill your health. Yeah. That sin takes a toll on the body, doesn't it?
Yep.
It don't even take sin to take a toll on your body. But sin certainly accelerates the toll on the body. It can ruin a memory. It can ruin a conscience. We know about this. You listen, you don't have to tell me. I don't have to tell you. There's things that our memory, our conscience reminds us of that we wish to God we'd have never got involved in. We'll have to probably carry that around with us till Jesus calls us home and He just wipes our memory clean. But because I chose to, I think I'm going to live after the flesh. This is what's comfortable. This is what's fun. And you'll carry the scar the rest of your life. It'll kill your reputation. It'll kill your character. Yeah. For to be carnally minded is death. I'm glad it don't stop there. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he wrote us chapter number 8 to say, man, don't live in the end of chapter 7 with this struggle, with this, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, hey, God gave you the Spirit. There's victory. And read chapter 8. Man, you got a helper that can help you when you're praying in verse number 26. And he says in verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And verse number 17, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And verse number 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. And at the end of the chapter, hey, he's persuaded that nothing can separate him from the love of God. He said, hey, that's the life you want to live.
Amen.
Live a life knowing that, yes, there's victory, that Jesus is real and His Spirit is at work in my life. You don't have to have a dead marriage. You can have a living marriage. You can have a wonderful family. You can have a great job. You can have peace. You can have contentment. You can have joy in life. You don't have to have a ruined memory. You don't have to have a seared conscience. Choose life. Amen. Choose life. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I thought about that when I was trying to prepare the message. Why is this a hard choice? Well, David said this morning, we're depraved, aren't we? We're depraved. But listen, we got the Holy Spirit of God. You know why I think it's a hard choice? Because it's just natural for us to live after the flesh. If I'm going to live my life any other way, I got to go against the grain. I got a lot of things fighting against me, right? I've got the world fighting against me. I mean, everything this world is trying to get our attention with is telling us, live after the flesh. Live for you. Watch out for you. Take care of you. And God's trying to say, if you live after me and you live after the Spirit, you're going to have to crucify that flesh. You got to sacrifice. And our flesh is like, I don't know about that. It's natural versus the supernatural. And I thought, we don't have time to go back, but the book of Joshua and Romans 6, 7, and 8 kind of go together, because the book of Joshua is about victory, right? Children of Israel, we read Deuteronomy, beginning of the message, and they got a decision to make. They can either live their life in the wilderness like their forefathers, they can choose death, or, man, they can cross over the Jordan River and choose life. But you think about it, so Joshua chapter 3 and 4, they cross over the Jordan River, they set the stones up, and then you get to chapter 5, and you know that Jericho's on the horizon, and they know that they're going to have to go to battle soon, and there's something weird that happens. God tells Joshua, I want all the males to be circumcised. We need to take care of business, and because I don't want my name to be reproached among the people of Canaan. And you would think, well, that's kind of a weird thing to do, to kind of disable all the men in my army right now when we're getting ready to fight. Can I tell you, if you choose to live after the Spirit and live a victorious life, there's going to be some things maybe that God asks you to do. You're going to kind of scratch your head and say, I don't understand this. Right?
Yeah.
It's not always going to make sense, but It don't have to make sense if it's right.
Right.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, still the right thing to do. Your coworkers may laugh at you for it. They're not going to get saved unless they hear the gospel. Right? Then they start marching around the city. Isn't that a weird battle plan? Here's how we're going to take Jericho, fellas. We're going to march around the city. Once a day, 6 days, on the seventh day, we're going to march around 7 times, blow the trumpets. Are you kidding me? What kind of battle plan is that? That's God's battle plan. Yeah, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so, to live this victorious life, this life that's after the Spirit, there's going to be some things that maybe we say, well, I don't know about that. Some of them are here in the book of Romans. Turn over a few chapters, chapter 12. And I just want to mention a few of these that we're kind of like, ah, that's hard. I don't know about that. All right, here's what God said, Romans 12, and I'm just going to pick a few of them. Look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Look at this, in honor, preferring one another. Ah. He said, put somebody else first. That is not what my flesh wants to do. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. That's not what your flesh wants to do. That's what God said do. He said, you know what? You ought to put your brother and sister first. There'll be no victory if we're not willing to go by what God said. The children of Israel, they wouldn't have defeated Jericho if they would have tried to take it with their physical force. And you know what's funny is I've always liked this part. If you go read it at home, in Joshua chapter 6, when they're marching around Jericho, he said, Joshua, I want you to tell them not to say anything. Right? I mean, can't you imagine that was hard? They couldn't even ask questions. They couldn't murmur, couldn't complain. You know what? Just obey. Just do what I said, Joshua. Didn't our flesh always want to say, yeah, but you don't understand my situation, right? And I can read through some of these. Let's go through another one. Look at verse number 11. Not slothful in business. But you don't understand that man that I'm working with. But let me tell you about my boss. No, shh, shh, shh. Shh, just do what this book said. Right? Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Look at them. This one's hard. Maybe it's not for you. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Yeah. That's getting real in California, isn't it? Yeah, my flesh don't want to bless those folks. I may bless them out, amen. Bless them which persecute you. Sounds kind of like walking around the walls of Jericho, doesn't it? You see, when we're preaching, live after the Spirit, I'm just trying to put some application of what this might look like in your day-to-day life. You say, well, what's that going to look like if I walk after the Spirit? It might look like you got to treat somebody nice that's treating you like garbage. They're persecuting you and God wants you to bless them. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And we could read on and on. You can read the rest of the book of Romans. You know what he's telling you how to do? Live the Spirit-filled life. He said, here's what Christians do. You got a choice. Before you got saved, you didn't have a choice. You were in bondage. But now, choose life. Choose life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's who the no condemnation's for. So, in conclusion tonight, I thought about Israel and I thought about, man, what did it take? I mean, what was it for that generation that caused them to finally go over, right? The generation before them, they died in the wilderness. So what was it that caused that next generation to say, you know what? We're going to go forward into Canaan. A couple things. I thought about, well, maybe they had a fresh reminder of what had just happened. Right? They could see, a lot of them, it was their parents. parents, their grandparents, well, we just buried them because they didn't do what God said. That ought to be a pretty good motivator. But I thought about this too. Moses is he's a picture, he's a type of the law. And that law can only get you so far. And Moses eventually had to give the reins over to Joshua, who's a picture of Jesus Christ. And God told Joshua, "Joshua, why don't you take them over?" And Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you, listen, if you live a life of victory, it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus. You got to fall in love with Jesus. The songwriter said, "Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all." Listen, learn a couple of lessons tonight. There's some things I can look at in my life. There's some people I can look at and I can say, I don't want to experience what they've experienced. If I'm honest, I don't think I've always lived my Christian life in victory and in the spiritual Canaan land. But I can tell you one thing that's helped me to do it is to look at the way some saved people have tried to live their life, and man, it's buried some things in their life. But then I know what Jesus has done in my life. I was thinking about it some today. Just it's good to think back on what God's done for us, isn't it? Amen. We'll be done in just a minute. And I began to think about how Jesus saved me and where I'd be if he hadn't saved me. Then I began to think about around the year 2003, 2004, just, man, there was a couple of things that were just really wonderful that happened in my life. One of them's sitting right here, my wife. Met her I met her as a 12-year-old boy, but we weren't engaged then. We got married in 2004, and God brought her into my life and helped me a lot. And her dad was a preacher. But man, that was something else. It's hard to explain, but if you've been there and you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus was just, he was getting real to me. He's all I wanted to live for. I'm telling you, the songwriter said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." And later in that song it says, "And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And the things that previously I was living for, man, I need to, you know, get a good job so I can make a lot of money. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to do those things. I'm just saying a lot of those things I was living for, they just kind of went strangely dim. And I was just like, I just want to live for Jesus. That's all I want to do. I just want to live for Jesus because it was so real to me. Can I tell you, it still is. We can get up here and we can sing these songs. When David was reading those verses, "Does Jesus care?" Man, that's real to me. It's real. Can I ask you, is it real to you? Is Jesus real to you? Do you have a desire? There was something inside of me that just, it was hungry. It was hungry. I want to serve Jesus. Do you have that? You got a choice to make tonight. Life or death. We're not talking about heaven and hell. I hope you've already made that choice to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're saved, you got a choice to make. You can live after the flesh, experience death in all manner, or you can experience life by choosing the life of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to open your word and preach truth. And God, I pray that you would just use this truth to help us. I thank you for helping me. And I pray, God, you'd help me to see not only the consequences of being carnally minded, but God, help me to see the benefits, the blessing of yielding my life to the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives tonight according to your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come and close.